Welcome to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, November 29th, 2015. The Reverend Joanne Martindale is preaching. The sermon for today is Advent Watch. The Old Testament reading is Psalm chapter 25, verses 1 through 10, and the New Testament reading is from Luke 21, chapters 25 through 36.
All right, let us begin with a word of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today, as you all know, marks the first Sunday in Advent, the four-week period of our religious preparations leading up to what? To the birth of Christ. We Christians believe, and we say in most of our creeds, that the child born in a manger in Bethlehem is both the long-awaited Messiah, like we're waiting, like that Advent creche has nothing in it. We're waiting, right? We're waiting. And he's the Son of God. This is the main story and main theme of our sacred story. But the story is not complete unless we remember that it also tells about a poor Middle Eastern couple searching for safety and shelter and looking for a place to have their baby. No celebration of Christmas is complete if it fails to include the gripping words, "They laid him in a manger because there was no room and no place for him in the inn." Lately, I've been wondering whether this story, so important to us Christians, has anything to offer in the midst of the Syrian refugee crisis. Presidential candidates, governors, TV commentaries, and newspaper columnists have all offered their opinions about whether or not our nation should open its borders to the refugees, and all offer important contributions to this debate. But there is another voice to which we might want to listen, the voice of our tradition, the voice of our Judeo-Christian faith tradition and the Bible from which both Jews and Christians draw inspiration and guidance for daily living. We might be surprised, I don't think so, the people in this room actually, to know that the Bible has a lot to say about strangers, foreigners, aliens, but here is some of them. When an alien resides with you in your land, you shall not oppress the alien. The alien who resides with you shall be to you as a citizen among you, and you shall love the alien as yourself, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord. That's Leviticus 19:33. Another scripture, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who executes justice for the orphan and the widow, and who loves the strangers, providing them with food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, the alien, the foreigner, for you were strangers yourself in the land of Egypt." Deuteronomy 10:19. "I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing." You're familiar with this passage. "I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. When, Lord, did we do these things?" The people asked Jesus, and he replies, "When you did it to one of the least of the members of my family, you did it to me." Matthew 25. "Which of these proved neighbor to the man in need?" asked Jesus in the parable of the Good Samaritan. "Answer, the one who showed him mercy. Go and do likewise," says Jesus in Luke 10:36. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that we have entertained angels without knowing it." Hebrews 13. 1 John 4, "There is no love, no fear in love, for perfect love casts out fear. We love because God first loved us. Those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this: those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters." The next scripture. From beginning to end, the Bible urges, even compels, the faithful to love strangers and aliens the way we love ourselves. That's what all of these scriptures talk to us about. It talks about how we use time, and how we use resources, and how it talks about how we welcome the stranger. It talks about how at one point people were foreign. They were oppressed. They didn't even have a place to lay their heads. That's the Christ story. That's the story we wait for at this period of time of Advent. We wait for how Jesus is born in a manger. But we sometimes forget that he was a foreigner. Recently, Grady Parsons, the stated clerk of the Presbytery of the denomination, issued a statement about refugees. Presbyterians profess a faith in Christ whose parents were forced to flee with him to Egypt when he was an infant to save him from the evil King Herod. Knowing our Lord was once a refugee, faithful Presbyterians have been writing church policy, urging the welcome of refugees and demanding higher annual admissions into the United States since the refugee crisis in World War II. Presbyterians have a mission presence in many refugee-sending countries, including Syria and Lebanon, where we have been present since 1823. Our mission work there gives us knowledge of the root causes of the flight of refugees and further cements our church's commitment to welcome. Not for one minute am I suggesting a simplistic or naive approach to dealing with the refugees in the Middle East, and I'm not going to tell anyone how they should think about it. I'm simply going to remind us about our story on this first Sunday of Advent. And that story is to remember from where Christ came and the stable for which he was born in too. So today I want to talk about both welcome and time, because I think they're connected. What do you and I want to let go of in our lives? And what do we want to give ourselves to? That's a question that we ask ourselves every single day. How am I going to spend today? Am I going to go shopping? Am I going to do the gardening? Am I going to do the laundry? Am I going to spend it with family? What do I want to let go of? Because we have to let go of things in order to make room. And what do I want to give myself to? No matter if you're 20 and trying to figure out your life, like my college son who is home trying to figure out his life. Believe me, we're having lots of conversations about what am I going to do with my life and how do I choose to use my time? And then people that are 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, what do I give the rest of my life and my time and myself and my energy to? They ask when I talk with them. It seems to me the days between Thanksgiving and Christmas form a season of the year when most of us are acutely aware of time. Maybe it's because there are so many things to do between now and Christmas, and we're afraid we don't have much of this time, we call it. Maybe it's because, whether it's for parties or because the end of the year, projects at work, it feels like everybody wants a piece of our time. And maybe it's just because as the days grow shorter, it seems like time is running out more quickly each and every day. Time is an issue for almost all of us. And indeed, time can be an issue even when it's not Advent or Christmas. We wonder how much time we have. We're afraid we won't have enough time. And we get stressed when we feel like time is running out. And often time can be an elusive concept. When I wonder whether I have enough, or when people ask me if I have time for something, it isn't always just a question about how many hours there are on the clock. Sometimes the question of time is more than just hours and minutes. Often it's measured in other things, like the ability to concentrate, emotional stamina, physical stamina. So let's look for just a second at the ability to concentrate. Have you ever told someone, I don't have time to think about that right now? You ever said that? A few of you are nodding your head. Mm-hmm. It usually doesn't mean that you can't find 5 minutes on the clock to think about a new question. It's just that you know that you already have so many things to think about, you won't be able to focus or concentrate on that at this particular moment in time. So the second one, emotional stamina. Have you ever told someone, I don't even have it in me emotionally to deal with that right now? I have too much else on my plate. Have you ever said that? Absolutely. You just don't have it in you. You're too emotionally spent, right? You're too drained from everything else. You know that the time you have won't be the kind of productive time you need for that event. How about physical stamina? I see a lot of heads going now. I know that sometimes I may have clock time left, but if I'm physically drained, I can't do any of it, right? It just stops you right in your track. You get sick, you're down. Your back goes out, you're down. You all have had something like that where you thought you were going to do one thing one day and all of a sudden you're not. In this season of Advent, we'll find that many of our Bible readings also speak about time. Time was a very important thing in Bible times, just like it was today. It mattered greatly to early Christians. And in the Bible, time is sometimes an elusive concept as well. For example, today in our gospel reading, Jesus is speaking to his first followers about time. Jesus' words seem to be about the end of time, the end times. Our second reading was almost scary a little bit, wasn't it? About you have to do this in time and be alert and be aware and be awake and, you know, because we don't know what the end times are going to be. And you could even, like a lot of Christians do, look at all the things that are happening in our world, right? Paris and the refugee crisis. And you can say, what's going on in our world? We're coming to the end of time, right? I mean, you hear that a lot from different groups, right, about that, about the end times. And although not asked directly by the disciples in this case, Jesus speaks about recognizing the sign of the times, even though he doesn't tell them how much calendar time they have until some of these things are going to take place. And finally, Jesus tells his disciples to be alert at all times. But what does time mean here? And what can it mean to be alert at all times? Truthfully, and when I read that words, it stresses me out, to be honest with you. Be alert at all times. How can we be alert at all times? That's really hard to do. There was a song when I was growing up, and I grew up in an evangelical Presbyterian church from, you know, here all the way up. And there was a song that we used to sing in youth group that I don't sing now with the kids in youth group, but it goes something like this. I wish we'd all been ready. There's no time to sit. Wait, hold on. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come and you've been left behind. That was the song that we sang in youth group. And what do you think it's about? Accept Christ now or you're going to hell. Right? Accept Christ now because there's going to be no time for you left. So no matter how you theologically think about... Yeah, right, that was a fun church. No, but it actually was an awesome church, but that was one of the songs we sang. Exactly. But that was one of the songs we sang, and it was about time. There's no time to change your mind. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. But it's about time. It's about the end times. And it's about who you follow so that you're not left behind. No, I'm not up here to scare you. I'm not up here to say, you know, follow Jesus or you're going to hell. That's not what I'm doing up here. But what I am talking about is how do you spend your time? How do you welcome people? How do you spend your time? How do you do it? I want to go back to one of the first things I said at the very beginning, and that is, I can find it on this piece of paper here. What do I want to let go of? And what do I want to give myself to? We have got to let go of things in order to make room for other things. What do I want to let go of and what do I want to give myself to? And our first scripture says from David, Psalm 25, O Lord, I give my life to you. That's how the psalmist begins. Almost so many of his psalms. O Lord, I give my life to you. Are we doing that? O Lord, I give my life to you. And the meaning of time in the Bible is even more complicated. I'm going to just look at this for a minute. Because in the New Testament Greek, there are in fact two words for time. First, chronos, in which we get the English word chronology. It refers to clock time and calendar time. And if you just want to know if we are physically enough hours left on the clock, you're going to ask about chronos time, okay, in the New Testament. But there's another word for time, and that is kairos. And kairos isn't about clocks or calendars. It's about whether this is the right time. or as sometimes you hear, for such a time as this. It would be like using these phrases, the times we live in. Okay, I knew a pastor once who illustrated the difference by telling us a story of the time at 3 a.m. when he was awakened by his pregnant wife, who simply told him, "It's time." Okay, he knew it didn't mean the clock on the wall. He meant, "It's time. Now is the time." And that had nothing to do with the hour on the clock. And it's this word kairos that Jesus uses when he talks about time and calls you and I to be alert. His call isn't to stay up every night and never sleep. Jesus isn't talking about clock or calendar time. Instead, Jesus means that we should be alert to what God is doing in our lives at every time. Jesus means that we should be open to God's call to action, no matter what that action is, in every season. And Jesus means that we should be expecting God to act, expecting what God's going to do next in our midst, no matter what the calendar or the clock may say. And just as clock time can slip from us, not simply because the minutes run out, but because of the mental and emotional and physical stress, so too we can miss out on the kairos of God's time if we're too weighed down by everything else. Our scripture today tells us in Luke 21, "Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing and drunkenness and anxieties of life," no matter if it's RSV or NRSV, "and that day will close on you suddenly like a trap." This second scripture is kind of scary if you read it over a couple of times. And Jesus' words in today's gospel reading are words of caution not to miss out on what God is doing. They are also words to remind us what God is calling us to be part of. Because in reality, we all get preoccupied and weighed down. So what do we want to let go of and what do we want to give ourselves to? Every time and in every season is an opportunity for us to see and experience God's presence in our lives and in the world around us. And every time and every season is a moment in which God is calling you and I to be part of what God's doing in the world. Maybe that means someone helping with a Syrian refugee. Maybe that means the homeless shelter. Maybe that means the soup supper tonight. Maybe that means someone at work needs to go out to lunch with you because you can see how down they are around this Christmas season. Friends, I can't tell you how many times in the hospital this month is the most difficult. And in the military, this is the most difficult month. I get more emergency calls in December than I get any other time of year, in the military and the VA. Why is that? Because people have an expectation of what Christmas is supposed to be. But my friends, you and I are the hands and feet. You and I, God's putting us in places. If you look at your life as a call, God's putting you in places and with people that you're supposed to pay attention to. I bet if you close your eyes for 1 second, somebody comes to your mind. Maybe two. Maybe three. I want you to leave this Sunday with a knowing that God is calling you to something unique, and that is to make use of your time and to use it for God's glory. Because as I've said again and again, and Pastor Ron said, and all of us say together, it's not about us. It's about how God can use us in this place. God's using you, and God's using me in very different places and in very different ways. And half the time, I never know how I'm going to be used. I wake up and go, "What do you want today?" I'm nervous to ask. You never know in December, right? But God's calling you and I in the places that we're supposed to be. So as we begin Advent and we go toward the Christ child, the way he started his life fleeing, let's remember those who don't have a home. Let's remember those who are hurting. And let's be Christ to them. Let us pray. Christ, be with us during this Advent. Help us to know which place to go, which place to turn, and help us to keep Advent watch, to keep record of where you want us to be and who you want us to touch and the lives you want us to be near. Help us and guide us each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California, or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.